ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वासुदेवाय।
Whether we are Sakama Karmayogis or Nishkama Karmayogis. The highest quality work is done when put in the hands of the Lord. Such a person is a pure devotee. So such a person is working in pure consciousness, and that is the most exalted position in the path of self-realization. One has achieved that stage. So such a person, he also does work. He does a lot of services. But how does he work? He works in the mode of detachment from the truth, and he is ready to render any type of service for the Lord according to the Lord's desire. So all of you understanding these three things, it is clear. So this is very important. As we go ahead, the time should be driven home much more, because this has to be very clearly understood. Of course, in the beginning, we are told that just render any service to Lord. Whatever consciousness it may be, just do some service, because you will get some benefit. But as one fine-tunes his spiritual life, then one should begin to access one's consciousness with which one is rendering services. So if one wants to render services with best quality, then one should learn to give all the fruits to Krishna. Why you are insisting on these things very much? Because the subsequent sloka which we are going to discuss today, that will be understood only when you understand these things. It will very much demand understanding of these principles to appreciate the next level which we are going to discuss today, Parvati Kramanani. But I was discussing the next book also, Joshiya Sarva Karmani, Vidwan Yukta Samantanam. Joshiya Sarva Karmani means what? To title all one's activities to Krishna. And Yukta Samacharan. Vidwan Yukta Samacharan means one should engage others also in a similar way. So in that connection we saw many examples, isn't it? From Kalpa's life we saw so many examples. How should the Prabhupada engage all kinds of people in Krishna's service? Because Krishna says in the translation that we should not disturb the minds of the ignorant. What does it mean? That means a person who is very attached to the materialistic world, who should not artificially try to preach to him and say, yeah, give up all of that, it's all maya. He should not preach like that. So Prabhupada never used to tell them, even give up meat eating or give up gambling. Rather he would preach to them positively and he chant Hare Krishna. So when a person chants Hare Krishna and gets a higher taste, then he automatically gives up the bad activities. So here Krishna says, don't disturb the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruitful results of God's duties. So what should a learned person do? He should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. This is the desire. Sometimes people try to artificially detach themselves from the world and they will be miserable. They cannot peacefully live in the renounced order also. Because the world is such that when you do work, you feel that sadhus are more happy in a renounced life. They have absolutely nothing to do. Simply they are chanting, dancing, living a happy life. When you leave the worldly activities and you become a sadhu, then you cannot be idle because you want to do some activity. And the mind and senses are wandering in all directions. And one may want to again enjoy some gratification. And one may again go back to the world and want to do material work. This is called as bhoga and tyaga. This is like a pendulum. So long as one is attached to the fruits of one's work, this pendulum will never stop. As you enjoy, then you become frustrated with enjoyment, then you will want to renounce. And if you frustrated with renunciation, again you will want to enjoy. So this is going on. You can practically see in your life to the degree to which we are attached to the fruits of our action. But if one learns the art of working for Krishna, then there is no bhoga and there is no tyaga, because we are doing everything for Krishna. You understand that nothing is meant for my bhoga, or I don't have to do tyaga also. You don't have to renounce anything of this world. Why? Anybody knows why you don't have to renounce anything of this world? Exactly. Well, the first place, nothing belongs to you. How can you renounce? There's nothing to renounce in this world. At least you think you possess something, you will have to renounce. There's nothing to renounce in this world. So one knows, Joshiya Sarva Karmani. And I'll tell you, all that one is possessing, Krishna service. So one learns them, starts on doing them. So these are plenty of examples how Srila Prabhupada so wonderfully engaged all these devotees who have different capacities in offering service to Krishna. So today we are discussing Prakriti Priyamanani Gunakarmani Sarvashah Ahankara Vimudhatma Kartahanati Manyati. The spirit soul leveled up by the influence of false ego thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. So in this loka, Krishna is telling us about the thinking of an ignorant person, how an ignorant person thinks. In the previous loka, what did he say? He told people in knowledge how to deal with people in ignorance. That's what he told in the previous loka. Now he is telling us how an ignorant person thinks in his mind. What does he think? He thinks himself to be the doer of all his activities. In actuality, they are all connected to the three modes of material nature, he says. So he uses the word guna. Guna is karmani sarvashah. So the word guna has many meanings. One of the meaning is rope. Guna means quality. Guna also means rope. And if you have seen how a rope is made, a rope is twisted. And then the three ropes which are twisted to one another and the rope is finally made like that. In the same way, there are three modes, Rajaguna, Tamaguna, Sattvaguna. So these three modes are actually dictating a person to act in this world, based on which a person acts. In fact, this is a very deep subject matter to understand. We can discuss a small section from the sixth canto, which you can understand how we are made to act in a particular way, in a particular fashion, by the dictation of the three modes. When the Lord Prabhupada was speaking with Vishnu Prabhupada, they give a very beautiful discussion about how every living entity in this world is controlled. So they are saying, beyond the five senses of perception, the five senses of perception, you know, isn't it? And the five working senses and the five parmatras are the sense objects. There is a mind, which is called the 16th element. And the soul, being cooperated by these 16 elements, is trying to enjoy this material world. It's struggling to enjoy this material world, which is exactly like a big ocean. Although this material world is like a big ocean where there are innumerable aquatics, one can never be confident that I am protected. Why? Because we use the word ekattu. Ekattu means we are single. Why single? In a big ocean there may be whales, there may be sharks, there may be fishes, and so many other aquatics living. But every one of them is an individual and they have to survive in the ocean alone. And if a person who doesn't know swimming in the ocean and he falls into the ocean, who can save him? He has to struggle all alone. So they are saying this is how the wizard soul who is put in this complicated network of the 16 elements is suffering in this material world. And then they are saying about the subtle body. They are saying the subtle body is the effect of the three modes. How it is the effect of the three modes? Because the dawn of the creation, the dawn of creation, the first thing which was created is false ego. And false ego associated with the mode of goodness is the mind. And false ego associated with the mode of passion is intelligence. That is why we already have the false ego, and in association with the modes, we get the mind and intelligence. Then we get the subtle body. So subtle body is the effect of false ego. And subtle body has insurmountable desires stored in it, which the living entity is always hankering to fulfill. And these desires are very, very difficult to fulfill. And due to which, the soul is always being impelled. Because the mind is built up with such desires, actually the mind is forcing the senses to enjoy. So this is why the subtle body is given the different types of troubles for the living entity. And then they are saying, they're saying with 5 points, which is the second point of the central body. Well, then they're saying how the central kind of that. Because these are very, very important points to, you know, because it's very, very practical. That is the most important point, which is very relevant to this data. Saying that the conditioned living entity unable to control his mind and senses is forced to act by the dictation of the three modes of material nature, even against his own desires. That's saying that the concept is in your mind. Even if one desires to do something good, the three modes are pulling up in different directions, forcing him to act in ways which will lead one to destruction. They are giving the example of a silkworm. The silkworm is losing out a particular type of liquid from its mouth. Yeah, how did you understand the 3 words? I will explain it just now after this. Just like a silkworm, which is emanating some liquid from its mouth, is covering itself, ultimately getting completely bound. In the same way, the living being gets activity in this world out of past ego. Past ego means what? Misidentifying yourself with the body. And then thinking yourself to be the body, when you act, then you produce fruitive activity, as you call it. You all understand fruitive activity? Fruitive activity means which will be yielding you good results or bad results. And when the soul produces good and bad results like that, then he is born again in the next body, according to the karmana devanetra, and he gives the next body. Then because of his past fruitive activities, he is forced to enjoy or suffer different situations in the next life. So how one can suffer in passion, goodness or ignorance? All of these three modes have the respective symptoms, the qualities of God. Like a soul who has fallen into a particular body, God is situated in the mode of ignorance. He wants to smoke cigarette, he wants to drink liquor, he wants to sleep for hours and hours. So these are all in the mode of ignorance. So the mode of ignorance dictates him to act like that. So according to his past fruitive activities, the results are given to him. So in this particular life, the living being desires something and that his work stops. That's what he can just desire. How is it fulfilled? By the 3 modes. So 3 modes are making him act. I'll give you a simple example. For example, let me tell me what is the characteristic of mode of passion? Anger? Yes. Desire for honor, desire for prestige, attraction for sex life, and all these things appropriating as you're selling. For example, if a living entity, he knows a huge skyscraper building, 200 floor building he makes, and then he thinks, how wonderful I have created it. Actually, the God of passion has created it. And how could he create it? Because in the past he had the prarabdha, because of his past activity, he had the prarabdha that he will be able to achieve such a thing. So the prarabdha is coming and the mode of passion is dictating, both jointly let the living entity construct it and the living entity thinks I am the Surya. This is the meaning of karta aranati manyate. So everyone is born of a particular mode, like a mode of goodness. A person may be a poet or a philosopher. If a poet is singing some poetry, he is talking and he starts thinking, oh, I am making such wonderful poetry, what abilities I have. Or if somebody is a scientist, using his intellect, he is inventing something new. Then he begins to think, I've done something wonderful, which nobody can do. But actually he is doing that based on the dictation of the mode of goodness. So all these philosophers, poets, and scientists, all these people are intellectuals, so they come in the mode of goodness. Now, generally speaking, the person in the mode of goodness is more or less free from sinful activities. Otherwise, simply any scientist who is full of sins cannot be considered in goodness. No? So, he has to be more or less free from sinful activities. So, the three men have the respective qualities. And they are like the invisible ropes. They will be Isha Santriya. Isha Santriya. Isha is actually the Lord himself. These are the ropes engaged by the Lord. They will be Isha Santriya, Muridani Bhakta. And they are strongly bound to the humanities like shackles. Like the mode of ignorance is considered to be the iron chain. Mode of ignorance. Because in mode of ignorance, one has neither knowledge nor happiness. One is not having any knowledge, he is completely in ignorance. And due to his ignorance, he indulges in such animalistic activities that he causes suffering to himself and suffering to others also. Very simple to understand. Anybody can give an example for this? And classes are where I gave it. How does a person in ignorance cause suffering to himself and others? For example, if you are in a dark room, somebody is entering a dark room, and there are many people sitting or sleeping, what will he do? He will just dive into the room, and he will put his leg in somebody's eyes, somebody's nose, or somebody's neck, he'll put on three down. So when he enters a dark room, which has no light, he causes so much inconvenience to other people. And what about himself? He also stumbles and falls down. So neither is he happy, nor he makes others happy. So many person in mode of ignorance, for example, smoking a cigarette, he is also burning all his lungs, and he is also causing so much passive smoking to the neighbor. Causing harm to others, he is causing harm to himself. This is a person in ignorance. But a person in passion is apparently happy due to his charanic hard work. But that is also happiness and illusion. In that the animate activity is remaining in a state of illusion while he is experiencing some kind of happiness. Of course, this happiness is not a steady happiness. It is sometimes the happiness comes and there is again lamentation and happiness like that. And a person in mode of goodness, because he is more or less free from simple activities, he experiences a special kind of happiness. And a person in goodness is well situated to practice spiritual life and transcend the mode of goodness. So, these are the three modes which dictate the living entity. And the living entity, due to the dictation of three modes, is acting just like a puppet. So the living entity can just desire. For example, it is like a tripod. You know, a tripod stand. There is a living being, there is Paramatma as the super soul, and there is Prakriti. There is a Prakriti Priyamanani. So the living entity thinks of some desire in his mind. How nice it will be if I can do like this. A desire comes to the surface. Then the Paramatma, or the Lord in the heart, he is observing the desire. And then he is ordering the Prakriti. What is Prakriti? His body is Prakriti. His body is made of Prakriti, Panchabhuta. He is ordering the Prakriti, yes. To fulfill his desire. How does Lord order the Prakriti? He orders it based on whether we deserve such a result or not, according to the Prarabdha. He sees our Prarabdha and he orders the Prakriti to exhibit the activity. And the Prakriti does the activity. The body does the activity. Because it is just by the three modes. And what does the soul think? I am doing it, I think. For example, if a person wants to eat a food, eat some food from the plate, and the soul is desiring, I want to eat, but the Isha, or the Lord in the heart, he is observing that the soul doesn't deserve to eat this food. So although the person wants to eat, he is having a paralytic attack. The hand doesn't even move. And it reminds that this. He wants to eat, but he is unable to lift the food. Because the Lord has ordered the Prakriti not to cooperate with him. Understand the point? So, the soul has absolutely no capacity to do anything but himself. He always simply depends on Prakriti, which is dictated to the three modes. And he is a conditioned soul. You all understand this point? So, we are really not the doers. We are simply witnessing the activities being taking place in our body. If you see, generally everyone considers his body to be his own. Then he considers his bodily extensions to be his own, like his wife, his children. Then he considers his house to be his own. Then he considers his state to be his own, or his country to be his own. This is why I call it Dehatma Buddhi. And somebody, sometimes I'm speaking with the people, they say they claim to be Indian, isn't it? If somebody humiliates him or something with respect to state, then the blood pressure goes high. Why? Because they are so strongly attached to the country. Now, if somebody is attached to a particular caste, I come from such and such caste. You don't have to know what caste you come from. So you become very attached to that caste. As soon as somebody else comes to you and tells you, I belong to the same caste, immediately you feel that and that heat in the heart. Oh, you are my person. Please come, you want to embrace. You feel like that, isn't it? How you speak my language, or like that. This is actually bodily consciousness. First of all, we have to question ourselves, that is because the extensions of the body keep the body alone. Does this body belong to you? Is this body yours? You can easily practically prove it that this body is not yours. You don't own the body. For example, if you say you want a Renault car, every time you can open the refill, you throw away the refill, put another refill, you can close it and can use it, because you own the car. In the same way, your body, it's not that you can do anything with this body, isn't it? For example, you want to go for a cricket match tomorrow, you're going to play the national game. If something happens to you, accident happens to you, leg will be broken, isn't it? Tomorrow can I go for cricket match? I can tell the body, now you set it right, immediately. I want to go for cricket match. You can't do that because you have no power to control this body. You can see that as when you get diseases, you have no control. Of course, your doctor gives you some pills, he eats the pills. Sometimes, despite eating so many pills, you don't get cured for several days. But sometimes, managers, when they get sick, they become upright. Oh, if they can get cured, it will be so nice. They take heavy doses of medicine to get cured in one or two days. But then it becomes aggravated and they are in bed for 2 months. You can't control the body. You have absolutely no control. Because this body is not ours. It is not our property. If it had been our property, we can have complete control over it. Similarly, wife also is not our property, husband's property, because you can't control completely. Because she has a free will also. Similarly, how you are thinking it to be your property, that sooner or later you are going to be thrown out of the house. That is, you have to take another body. That way, if you see, nothing belongs to us. If one can understand that this body doesn't belong to me, other things are very easy to understand. But this is very, very difficult to understand. Because we don't even think body belongs to us, we think we are the body. That is the biggest problem. The false ego is so strong that we have to speak of considering ourselves to be the owner of the body, we think ourselves to be the body itself. Due to the false ego, we consider ourselves to be the doer. So, how is the soul apart from this world is explained? Just like when the big fire and from the world fire starts for a minute. So if the fire starts to problem in water, what will happen? It will be almost extinguished. If the spark of fire is falling on land, there is some possibility that it can remain a spark. If the spark of fire is falling in a dry grass, what will happen? Fire will come, immediately fire will be lit up. In the same way, the soul which is very pure in nature, although he is pure, one in quality with God, one in quality with Krishna, he is still, he can fathom because he is infinitesimal. He is very, very tiny and small. So he can be overwhelmed with Maya and be trapped by these 3 months. So, falling in water is part of what? Ignorance. Why? The person who has their soul was fallen in a body, which is in the mode of ignorance, you can see that the spiritual qualities are almost extinguished. You cannot find any such a quality. He may be a atheist and even other part of Buddha, or you have been indulging in such abominable, sinful, demoniac activities that you cannot even withstand that person, you cannot stay with that person. That is not a good matter. And the person's passion, why it is said, it caused falling on land. Because such a person is a very dynamic person. That is the wrong direction. So he has to go to the right direction. You just change his direction. You're going very, very fast in one direction. You turn him about that. That is a very fast behavior. So somebody's passion, if he comes to Krishna consciousness, he can take leaps and bounds if he agrees to gradually elevate himself to goodness. If he remains in passion, he may do a lot of activities in Krishna consciousness and then fall down. He may not be able to advance. One, he wanted a mode of passion. Somehow he has come to Krishna consciousness. What should he do? He should try to gradually elevate himself to the platform of goodness like that. And a person at the start of our time in right path is compared to what? Goodness. Compared to goodness. Because in goodness, when you situate yourself in goodness, your mind is so fresh and your heart is so fertile. That's a wonderful receptacle for the nectar of spiritual knowledge. You can very easily receive it. You can hear avowals and avowals of shravana, of the knowledge that is given in the scriptures, and you will be completely enthusiastic in real spiritual activities, and you will spontaneously be sinful. There are so many qualities mentioned. The mode of goodness, shama, tama, tapa, shaucham, friendliness, peacefulness, austerity, and wisdom. Religiosity. These things become a very, very natural outcome in the body of a person in goodness. That is why even the parents in India also, they try to give sankaras to their children. Some children can see, when I'm a child, he was wearing shoes and he was coming out of the temple. So he gave him prasada. He said, no, wait a minute. He went and washed his hands and came on. He said, please, now he gave it. So like that, if one is getting good sanskaras and one comes to the platform of goodness, then it is very easy for one to pick up spiritual life quickly. So, in this way, these three modes, this is what we said is by hand, we can understand the chance of the living entity, how we can elevate himself very fast. So, I was telling about, we will finish that point, what Yamadutta was saying, before we go on. So, they are telling about the example of silkworm. And being born with a silkworm, they are always bewildered. So they are saying, the fulfillment of the desires, how are the fulfillment of the desires taking place? It is because of the past creative activities. So the other ones are concluding, saying that because the living entity possesses insurmountable desires in some body, and he is dedicated to the three modes. He is carrying on, taking one body after another, which is called a samsruti, continuation of material existence. Somehow or other, the living entity should get an opportunity to associate with the pure devotee. They are saying that he should know how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's where they are concluding. If he gets that opportunity, then there is a means of deliverance from this ocean of material existence. Otherwise, somebody born in passion, maybe repeatedly born in passion, has millions of lifetimes. Somebody born in goodness, maybe repeatedly born in goodness lifetimes. So one may not be able to deliver oneself from this world. And then one comes in contact with the pure devotee. I say that I'm joking. So here, in this sort of, he is discussing about Prakriti Premanani Gunantarmani Sarvashaka. He's telling Ahankara, Ahankara, Mood Atma, Katta Aham, he says. Just like a harmonium, simple example. If you are playing a harmonium and singing some line song, will the harmony become proud? How sweet you are singing? Because that's the player of the harmonium. A screwdriver. If that's a screwdriver and you tighten a nut, will the screwdriver become proud? If it becomes proud, how foolish he is. Does he have the capacity to tighten the screw by himself? He has no capacity. But he is actually being orchestrated by somebody else behind. Somebody is pushing him, somebody is rotating him in order to perform that activity. In the same way, everyone is actually separated with the three modes in the condition stage. Now again, coming back to sakama, nishkama and karma kandi, sakama karma and nishkama karma. Anybody can say these three things? Bhagavad Gita, because now he is going little deeper to understand another aspect. So can say, what is karma kanda? He is attached to putting works and he performs some religious rituals. That is all. He is a karma kandi. Higher than that, who is sakama karma yogi? That is for deliberating from sakama karma yogi. But what is the nature of sakama karma yogi? What? No, I am expecting something very important there. Yes, he knows Krishna as the goal. That is very important. He is understanding that the Krishna is ultimate goal of life. And it is attached to the fruits of his action. It is a Kama Karma Yogi. And then Nishkama Karma Yogi is what? That is doing? No. Is it confusing or is it easy to understand? I think last time I gave some examples to you. So I said the example for sakama karma yogi. Who can say? Yeah. Let's give an example. He is doing gulab jamun for whom? He is doing gulab jamun for whom? For Krishna. Isn't it? Because he knows Krishna is the goal. So he is making gulab jamun for Krishna. But in the case of making gulab jamun, what does he think? Shweta Shweta will say? He is attached to the fruit of action. Yes, I can understand. So he is attached to the fruit of his action. That means he is taking the credit of this action. He is called as a Sakama Karma Yogi. Nishkama Karma Yogi, who can give an example? Yes? Yes? No, Vaishnava is even superior than Nishkama Karma Yogi. That means he likes to do a particular work, but he doesn't want the credit. He knows he is an expert in doing a particular work, so he does the work, but he knows that this ability is given by Krishna to me. Yeah, very good. He remembers that six class. He doesn't take the credit for himself, he tells others that, oh, I have no ability. All this was done by other devotee friends. Actually, he has only done it, he or she has done it, but what does he or she say? I don't know, I could love them. I was just missing floor and this and that. They only did everything. And when you go to them, you come to know who actually did it. And he doesn't take the fruits. He just gives the fruits to devotees or to Krishna right now. He is called as a Nishkama Karma Yogi. Now a devotee is even superior to that. The devotee is not attached even to the particular type of work in which he is an expert. The devotee may be expert, daksha, in particular activity. But he is not attached to even that activity. He is ready to give up even that attachment and ready to follow the Atra Krishna. For example, great Acharya generally loves to live in Vrindavan. Who would like to leave Vrindavan? Racers who try to leave Vrindavan. Let us tell them, when they visit Vrindavan, they are visiting the spiritual world. They are in that consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada visited Vrindavan and he was in Damodar. They are at Damodar temple. He was living just very close to Rupa Goswami's Samadhi. You see, he was giving so close to that. And you see the atmosphere there in Vrindavan. Everyone is chanting Radhe Radhe, they are all having beads. Even a Rikshawala, a driving Riksha is chanting Hare Krishna and beads, if you see. That is the nature of Vrindavan. So how would a pure devotee living in such a spiritual world like to live in Vrindavan? Naturally, everyone will be attached to living there, isn't it? So he may like to live in Vrindavan and simply chant all day and night. He can chant also, very advanced devotees. They can be simply chanting and the Lord will send them whatever they need and they can be leading a happy life. That, for Srila Prabhupada was ordered by that is Dr. Saraswati, the spiritual master. That you are a young man, you are educated, quality was your best and preach the message of Krishna consciousness in English language. It was the first instruction he gave him. And he took this instruction as his life and soul. And he gave up his own personal attachment to Vrindavan. What did he do? He went to study, he went to America. ready to live in such a horrible place like New York, to live in the midst of such horrible people. Who would like to live in such a place? Because he wanted to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. So, a person who is a bhakta, he is not attached to fruits of his work. You can practically see, what if Prabhupada say, you want to know the letter? And when you were going in the Jalakrita, you wrote a beautiful poem. In the poem he is telling, he got three heart attacks when he was going to the Jalakrita. So he survived somehow. And the captain of the ship told him, old man already going like this, what are you going to do in America? Before you reach America, that place you will die. Better you go back to India. But he said, no, I am ready to die. The battlefield, I have to go. It's the order of the spiritual master. So he went, and after, while just when he was reaching the shores, he saw big skyscraper buildings and a very noisy culture. People just moving about here and there, passionately wandering here and there on cars and trains in want of sin gratification. So Prabhupada writes in the poem, oh my God, I don't know why you have brought me here. You must be having some mission to be fulfilled by me. Otherwise, you would not have brought me here. Please hear the sentence very attentively. That means, you all are able to understand this point, that beauty never sees that I have come to America to achieve some success. The other purpose was his labels. I never came to America to achieve success. I simply came to America on the order of my spiritual master. I was ready to die also. If I would have died in Jalakrita, I would not have worried. I simply wanted to fulfill the order of my spiritual master. I never came to achieve success and do many great things. Krishna did everything, I thought. So when he is brought to the shores of New York, Prabhupada says, oh Krishna, why have you brought me here? That means he understands that Krishna is actually pulling me here. He has brought me to this place. And he says, oh God, please make me back. Make me back in the way you want. He said, I have the puppet in your hands. So just a few minutes before we were discussing, but the condition so is orchestrated by whom? With the three modes of material nature. But because the pure devotee is beyond the three modes, he is orchestrated by the Lord himself. God himself makes him act. So he is not operated by the three modes. So pure devotee is not only orchestrated by the Lord, he also is aware that he is being orchestrated. That is the beauty. He is also aware, completely aware. That Krishna has actually brought me here, he is only making me move. That is why even if they are undergoing some suffering, they are also joyful. Why? Because even if the Lord gives them some burden, they know that it is a burden of love. It is not a burden of suffering, it is a burden of love. It is. Like, some examples you can give for burden of love. Like, for example, if you love someone, if the father. The father is an old man. The son is going with him. The father cannot carry the suitcase. The son wants to carry for him. Because he loves his father. But the suitcase is heavy. It won't be heavy for him. Even if it is heavy, he won't feel the heaviness. Why? Because he is rendering service out of love. Not a very good example. That your husband wife, you can say, easily can understand. If say wife is pregnant, she cannot carry heavy things. So husband is carrying too many bags, one bag and one the shoulder, that shoulder, another suitcase, everything. He knows that actually I have to help her, because she is pregnant, she cannot carry anything. So you don't do any pain at that point of time, because you love your wife, children, like that. Like that, you understand the point? And the third way, the beauty only clearly knows that he is orchestrated or meant to act in the ways of Krishna himself. See the beauty, no? He is also aware of that. So Prabhupada is saying, oh, you have brought me here, he is saying, that means he never thinks that I have come to America to preach. He knows that Krishna has brought me. I am just a puppet in his hands. So this consciousness is the consciousness of a pure devotee. Such a devotee is not dictated by the three modes. He is directly controlled by Krishna. And later on you can see how Prabhupada did so many activities, established 100 examples, but he never ever felt that he did anything as himself. He never thought himself to be the doer. He told his disciples once that there was never a time in my life when my spiritual master was right next to me. I think they have always been remembering that my spiritual master is right next to me, always giving me directions, do this, do that. In fact, his spiritual master did give instruction. That time when Prabhupada was sleeping in the night, that time he was actually a grihastha. So he was sleeping in the night and his spiritual master came in the dream. And he told him, take sannyas. I told him. I was very frightened. And I woke up and saw, when he thought, oh, there will be something just coming to my mind. And after a few days he was sleeping, again the same order came. Take sannyas, his guru came and told him. Actually, Prabhupada was so advanced that he felt himself very, very humble and very, very unqualified to take sannyas. How can I take sannyas? Sannyas means you should be a Buddha-like servant, a pure devotee who has absolutely no obligations to the material world. I am so fallen. He considered himself very, very unqualified to take sannyas. But his spiritual master came and dictated directly. He was on Prabhupada's direction and he took sannyas. That is when I bowed at his spiritual master. And then he went abroad and his spiritual master bowed and he cursed everything. And the greatest beauty is never felt himself to be the Guru. He is by doing all these things. So, here Krishna is talking of the ignorant soul who is considering himself to be the doer of all his activities. Whereas a pure devotee always sees that he is being orchestrated. One great Vaishnava called his sings.
जगत विचारे किछु नहीं पाई तुमर करुणा सारा करुण न होले खंडिया खंडिया प्राण न रखी द्वारा से
सेइंग योग्यता विचारे यू इंक्वायर अबाउट माय क्वालिटीज व्हाट डू आई पजेस किछु नहीं पाई आई हैव नो क्वालिटीज ही सेज इफ यू एग्जामिन मी यू विल नॉट फाइंड एनी क्वालिटीज इन मी किचन नहीं पाए तुम्हारा करना सारा ऑल द पॉइंट मेड अप ऑफ इज बाय योर मर्सी दैट इज माय एंटायर बॉडी इज मेड अप योर मर्सी यू सेइंग तुम्हारा करना सारा करना ना हो ने इफ यू डोंट हैव योर मर्सी व्हाट हैपेंस टू मी कांदे कांदे प्राण ना रात मेरा व्यक्ति को आ रहा आई विल नॉट बी एबल टू मेक इन माय लाइफ आई विल सिंपली वीक एंड आई विल नॉट बी एबल टू लिव इन माय लाइफ यू सेइंग इफ आई डोंट हैव योर मर्सी सो Although the pure devotees are in a very advanced state of Krishna consciousness and Krishna awareness, still they never think that I am so Krishna conscious by my strength, by my learning, and by my surrender. This is my strength. They never feel like that. They feel that the Lord is grasping them and keeping them at His lotus feet. And if the Lord would let them loose, they would fall down from there. This is their feeling. Always. Always they feel that the Lord has just me and at his shelter and because of his mercy I am staying. On the 3 months, who is not touched to the any months, who is stand a little to the 3 months. All of you understand this? I think I should stop here because the subject matter was very heavy. I will not go to the next step right now. If anybody has any questions, you can discuss. Sudhanam, you take one Sudhanam and you'll go back to Godhead. He says, just chant a very, very humble heart, and one has to be free from particle, completely free from particle. Tanada Tishani Chana, Tarada Tishani Shana, Amani Namana Tana Ketana Sadahari. Tandra wants it to be as strong as a tree, and more tolerant than a tree. That's a very good advantage. As, actually that stage, one can experience the holy name, the sweetness of the holy name in that stage. Because a person feels that he is not only not a doer, he has no ability, he feels like that. Although he has a lot of ability, which is coming from Krishna, that we call as Krishna Shakti. And a pure devotee has tremendous ability to attract the conditioned source, towards himself. How is he attracting? Because of the Krishna Shakti that he is possessing. So he feels inside his heart that I have no ability, I have no strength, I have no devotion. As Mahaprabhu used to cry, oh, I have no doubt of Krishna. If only I had even a drop of love, I would be surviving in this world. The very fact that I am surviving and doing my activities goes to show that I have no doubt of Krishna. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has love, I have no doubt of Krishna. So it's how is he said like that? That it is. If Mahaprabhu says he has no love, what to pick up us? Srimad Bhagavatam says that when one recites the, upon the recitation of the holy names of the Lord, the tears don't start flowing down one's eyes. Then such a person is considered to be, such a person's heart is considered to be steel framed. You should not become morose when you hear this shloka. You should become blissful, understanding that you are very conditioned. You should know that I am very, very fallen. Sometimes when you hear this shloka, people become little upset and angry in their heart. Although they are desperate outside. What is this? That means you mean my heart is deep there. I don't say that, Bhagavatam says that. So, you have to purify your heart. Presently you are chanting abroad now. We should be making endeavor to gradually, slowly, slowly, slowly advance and at least come to the Navabha stage. In Navabha stage, one can practically see the anapas being thrown out. Gradually, all the anapas will be going on. How do you know that you are in Navabha stage? When you are coming to Navabha stage, you will see that you are. Asat Krishna will reduce. Asat Krishna means craving for material pleasure. That will reduce. For example, if one has a great affection for sex life, and one is chanting in Navabha stage, one will see that the attraction for sex life is becoming very, very blurred and insignificant. That is becoming free from that. Similarly, attraction for any form of sense gratification, with the eyes, the nose, the tongue, the ears, and the skin. When we have great craving for enjoying through this senses, then we call it Asat Krishna, craving for the temporary. When one chants an hour, you only see that the attraction for the middle of the chickens are reducing. On the contrary, what do you find? What do you find? Tremendous attraction to Krishna. You will be mad after Krishna. That attraction you can see. That is filled towards Krishna. You can see that. So this is a good sign if somebody is feeling like that. If somebody is feeling tremendous attraction to sense gratification, that is a bad sign. So you should try to gradually advance towards Navabha and then to Sutana. That is why you have to fix the mind in the Krishna lotus feet. That's the first step. You have to completely absorb your mind in thinking of Krishna's pastimes, hearing Krishna's pastimes, and constantly absorbing in very, very auspicious texts. So that the mind is absorbed like that, that's the purpose that you read Krishna whenever you go in the night to bed. You read Krishna book, then you hear Krishna dreams. So when we have such pure mind and auspicious thoughts in our mind, naturally the senses also want to engage in Krishna service. And gradually we can come to that. So unless you come to Navabha, Anasana Vritti won't take place and we cannot become free from our other karmic activities. So even after becoming a devotee, you may be suffering. Like, somebody becomes a devotee, it doesn't mean that from then onwards there are no karmic reactions. Reactions can come. Primary reactions can come. Until one comes to Navabha and then to Sudhana. Reactions will come. We don't have to worry. The sufferings come because the past fruitive activities are impending. The sufferings are going to come. But we know that there is an end for the done. We have come to the right path and we are advancing in our positive march towards Godhead. So whatever patterns are going to come, let it come. Let them, there is going to be end for them. After that, we will become a pure devotee and then we will return back to Godhead. So we should be very, very patient. We shouldn't become intolerant. And people think, after I become a devotee, I'm getting so many sufferings. That means probably I should give up devotional service. That's a wrong idea. You should never give up that thing. You should continue on and on. That's what he says. Atyena kampatita mukshimano munjana evasman kritam vipakam atmakritam vipakam. These are all results of my own past activities, but I'm suffering now, my life. Devotee feels like that. There are more advanced things which I didn't tell you. Like a pure devotee also may suffer sometimes. Like Bharat Maharaj suffered. Did he not? In how much he suffered Kala. There are many pure devotees. Some more examples anybody can give? How pure devotees suffer?
Pandavas.
Pandavas. How they suffer? They are suffering. Anybody else?
Kaupava.
Kaupava. Kaupava Raja.
The
Gopis also, yeah. Ambarish. Ambarish has also put in a situation like that. So many examples are heard now, just now. So all these people suffer, but if Lord is merciful upon his two devotees, and three modes of materialness don't act upon these devotees, then why do they suffer? See, the suffering comes from three modes only, isn't it? Because, to purify them, they are already purified. They are already pure devotees. Glorify them. Correct. To glorify them and to show to the world that even in such a suffering condition, my pure devotees will never leave my shelter. That is fine. They are beautiful shlokas. After the Ambarish, last time is over, we should treat him, Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many beautiful shlokas. So the Lord is saying, Sadhuva Hridayam Mahyam, Sadhuva Nam Hridayam Tam, Madam Nyat Prena Jananti, Aham Teshma Nagati, he says. I am desiring the heart of my pure devotee, and pure devotee is desiring in my heart. I do not know anything but my devotee, and my devotees do not know anything but me. He is telling. And he says, I'm just like a husband, captivated by the love of his chaste wife. In the same way, the Lord says, I have become captivated by the love of my devotees, he says. A good example, isn't it? Actually, it is said, the power of man is brahmacharya and the power of woman is chastity. And the woman is very chaste, naturally, she also attracts a chaste husband. And then there can be a very good relationship at peace at home. So then the Lord says to Dhruva, the Lord says to Dhruva Samani, what does he say? He says, just like a husband becomes attracted to his chaste wife, he becomes subservient to her love. In the same way, I become subservient to my devotee's love, he says. Many beautiful things he's saying like that. So for such a loving devotee, why should the Lord give suffering? Would the Lord like seeing his own devotee suffering? He would never like to see his devotee suffering. But he is just putting them in such conditions to show the world how they are so surrendered to the feet of the Lord that they never take the suffering seriously. Rather, they become 100 times more serious in devotion service than ever before, like Prahlad. Today we are talking about Prahlad because Hiranyakashipu answered them. So Hiranyakashipu, as Hiranyakashipu demanded, if Prahlad told him, okay, I will accept you as God, yes sir, etc. Accepting you, otherwise you will punish me. We won't be talking about Prahlad today. And if Hiranyakashipu didn't answer Prahlad, we won't be hearing about him today. So, the devotees of the Lord, even if they are put in such positions, we should understand. And that is also the attestation of Krishna. As Prabhupada was put in such a position, why? Krishna wants to show how his devotees act. We are the real heroes. That's why Prabhupada, how in such a situation in New York, was put in such a condition with 40 rupees, how he created the Andhra Nate Center. So the Lord purposefully puts the devotee in such situations to glorify him. But the devotees are so innocent that they don't even know that they are being glorified. The gopis of Vrindavan, when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, he saw the condition of gopis. You know how he saw the gopis? When he went to read the message that Krishna had given to the gopis were so mad for Krishna, they were all announcing the pastimes. One gopi was taking a paddy and doing like this and saying, come, all of you, I will give you a shelter under this Govardhan hill. Because Indra is pouring so much rain. Because there was so much mad after Krishna, they were remembering Krishna. And one gopi was jumping on the shoulder of another gopi and trying to stand on her head and saying that, oh Kali, I am going to punish you. She was asking the Krishna. So they were all absorbing Krishna's pastimes completely. And Uddhava told them, our gopis, you have so much love for Krishna. You achieved the highest perfection of your life. There is nothing more to be achieved. And the gopis told Uddhava, please don't waste your time like this. Very well. Let us tell what Krishna has told us. What message Krishna has sent us. So the pure devotees are so innocent that even when they are being glorified, they never take it seriously. Because it has no meaning for them. They are only always busy glorifying Krishna. So Prabhupada was busy glorifying Krishna, and Krishna even was busy glorifying Prabhupada all over the world. So this is the reciprocation between Lord and his devotee. So this is the activities, the practice of the pure devotees are all the pastime of the Lord. They are performed with the Lord. Actually, a devotee can never perform a karmic activity. No, even the tendency is lost. When a person becomes a pure devotee, even the tendency to commit sin is lost completely. You know, this sutta is when a person is not in bhakti, and is in tapasa, brahmacharya, samayana, kechit kevale bhaktya, vasudeva parayana, adham dunvanti kaasya, niharana bhaktya. Just like when the sun comes, all the problems is to dissipate completely. Because the third day, not only the sense of reactions will dissolve when you perform bhakti, capacity is dissolved, which is much more important, isn't it? See, what is the use of dissolving the sinful reactions if you have not lost the sinful propensity? You all understand? Do you really can explain this statement?
The capacity is not
again comfort. Right. Isn't it? Like you have a glass of water which is very muddy, and then you are using a centrifuge or something, and you are settling all the dust down. Is it a very intelligent activity to do? No, you have to take a phone and do like this. All the dust will come to surface. This is the path of karma and jnana. Whereas in the path of bhakti, what happens? We don't settle the anarthas, we remove the anarthas, we throw them away. So that even if you stir to the best ability, nothing will happen. It will remain clear as it is. That is why the pure devotee can never be agitated. But even in thought and just everything is completely burnt out, and one becomes a pure devotee. Probably a pure devotee could be wrongly mistaken for having exhibited a tendency like that, but a pure devotee can never fall a victim. If a person has fallen a victim to his past challenges, that means he has not yet become a samadhikari. He may be madhyama, in between madhyama and uttama, or maybe a madhyama adhikari. Actually, these adhikaris also, we should not assume ourselves that kanishta madhyama uttama, only three levels is said. Generally, a preacher actually represents he should be in madhyama adhikari level. So there are many in between sections also. Like there is beginning kanishta, and there is in between kanishta and madhyama, and there is advanced kanishta. The advanced kanishta is very close to madhyama adhikari. So there is a beginning madhyama, there is a middle madhyama, there is advanced madhyama. Advanced madhyama adhikari is close to uttama adhikari. And the promptly he can exhibit some past tendencies. But then one is part of the uttama adhikari, there is no question. Uttama adhikari is a pure devotee. It is completely free from all faults. Thing I have read which says something, you know, very strange, which we have not heard. I've given a few devotees, sometimes may suffer and they may suffer bad dreams like that because of the wrongdoings of his disciples like that. Otherwise, few devotees on his own account, at least till now whatever I have read, I have not heard that he exhibits past tendencies or suffers past reactions. So even if a devotee is suffering some disease, is it due to past reactions? Due to what? For example, if a devotee is suffering some disease or something, what is it due to? Is it due to the past karmic reactions? Doesn't correct Navabrad, no. No, it is purely Krishna's arrangement only. Correct. Many people say Krishna's blessing. It's Krishna's arrangement only because the past reactions are already finished for a few devotees. And a person has to come to us. It is Krishna's arrangement to glorify him as the Gita was telling. It is Krishna's arrangement to put him in an awkward position where he works all the more seriously and teaches to glorify him. That is all. Otherwise, we are disciples. It may be due to the disciples since he has to take a shot. As the Prabhupada says, he is really not obliged to take a shot. But out of his practice, not he takes a shot. That's it. That's it. Yeah, actually, the platform of, because he is situated in the platform of soul, actually, this kind of soul is also coming. This is told by Kapila. He is saying, where is the sopa? Patan Tirudhar Tapa. Naitan Madhya. It's the second line actually. First line he says, Patan Vishta is this. I think Vasudeva Patan Vishta, Shrinvanti Kapayanti Cha, Patan Tirudhar Tapa, Naitan Madhya. We tell prayers, we sing songs. And there are so many rituals also in our movement, which are not done with proper understanding, which are not done, not empty rituals with no meaning. Whatever rituals we do, they all have a meaning. Beginning from the morning, samsara davanara. That's a deep meaning. So knowing the meaning, understanding the meaning in the heart of one, performs these rituals faithfully, and gradually one will come to the point of realizing I am a mere instrument. As such great devotees, what do they feel? They feel that, sometimes Jagannath Maharaj used to say, I'll tell them, can you help Balaram here? I'll ask them. So wherever he directs them, I will go. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say like that. One time he was telling Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, I am your property, you can do whatever you do, whatever you want to do with me. Wherever you direct me, I will go in that way. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes had become very humble like that. This is not a simple exhibition of humility. It is actually a genuine feeling that a pure devotee feels in his mind. He feels that this is my master, and I have to serve him, and whatever he want, whatever way he wants me to serve him, I will serve. I have no reservations. He said he feels like that actually in the heart. Just imagine, not only to surrendering to Krishna, not only accepting Krishna's will, but really that for somebody who is not quite junior, considering him to be one's master, you can understand what kind of humility is he tolerating by one. So there is no impetus to work, isn't it?
Service, the proper team has a chapter. But although
they had practice and they would be very afraid of him. Still they would go to him and hear from him instructions and all, because they were loving a devotee. So if you somehow develop love for devotees and love for Krishna, then you will be attracted to that side more than the dictation of the demons. That means the degree to which you are attracted to devotees and Krishna, that means you can very easily give up the attraction of the demons. So gradually what will happen at one point of time, you will kick out all the demons. Jai Kunya Vishaya Veda, Jai Kunya Bhavarjana, you will go beyond that and you will be a pure devotee. So this struggle is going on. That is why they said Krishna consciousness is more of an internal struggle than an external activity. Krishna consciousness is more of an internal struggle. So when you become a devotee, gradually you will come to know what all Krishna consciousness is demanding. There are many demands. Because there's a saying in English, no pains, no gains. So sometimes you say, just stand and dance. That is easy. But when you stand and dance, later on the other demands will come. Then when you fulfill those demands, more and more and more, but Krishna will not just pull you, he'll pull you little by little by little by little by little like that, until you become thoroughly purified. It's not very easy unless one is very sincere. So if the dictation of modes are there, we should endeavor to go against the modes. We should not hear them. Try to go against the modes. Even in the past process. I mean, right from the past process we should begin. The past process, if a past thought comes to your mind, we should replace it with a Krishna conscious thought. So Krishna is the mind, Krishna is the senses, Krishna is the activities, Krishna is the surroundings, Krishna is your friends, everything. Krishna is everything, then you will be well situated. Then even if the modes are acting, they will be acting, they are not going to leave us, they will be acting. But you will be able to say no to them. No to modern ignorance. Like morning you are waking up, in the morning, today you are determined, now it's 4:30, today I am going to chant all my 16 rounds in the morning. And modern ignorance is acting. Ignorance is coming and just dozing, making your doors. You feel a deep somebody, you feel like sleeping, isn't it? But you have to go against the world. Again, go to the tap and just wash your face. And then walk to one floor. Isn't it? March and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That means working against the world according to the will of Krishna. This is one simple example. Just same thing. Any example. Like you are going with a friend and in the company and they are eating something, you know, something very delicious it looks. Something very delicious which you had long, long ago. It's like some onion butty or something. So, your mode of passion is acting. How nice it will be if I can grab one and eat, put it in my tongue immediately. But what do? No. Krishna says I should not eat onion butty. So you forget it. You say not to that. That means you are acting against the world. And you are going towards Krishna. This is how you can become transcendental. These are all small things. So from small things, gradually you will go higher and higher. And at one stage, you will be able to easily say, Naganam, Naganam, Nasandaryam. After that. And you will not expect it. So they are very, very advanced to give up. They are not very easy to give up. Desiring to have followers, desiring to have the association of women, and desiring to have wealth, and desiring to have with poetry, you know. So he's telling, one is not attracted to these things. Nama janmani janmani shvare, rata paktira hai tati kvayi. I simply want to render devotion service unto you birth after birth. Then one is a pure devotee. I think we should give opportunity to him. I'll get back to you again. Why it's called craving? Why it's called craving? For a pure devotee? No, for a conditioned soul, of course, every soul has a free will. Every soul has a free will to desire what he wants to do. The free will can be used either to love Krishna and serve them, or to go against his will and do whatever one wants to do in this material world. No. The desiring is done by the soul. The Paramatma is sensing the desire of the soul and then fulfilling his desire. For example, some people say, some drunkard is drinking, saying, oh, everything is done by God. People say like the dear thing. He wants to drink liquor and he says God, that he is blaming God. Everything is done by God. You should say everything is done by God and take his money from his pocket. Is that right? That is also done by God, isn't it? So to do the deed and so everything is done by God. Actually, what he desired to drink, the Paramatma son, what the fellow is desiring to drink, I will take him to a liquor shop, a rack shop. Then somebody will question, why Paramatma is doing like this? Why is he misdirecting him? Actually, Paramatma has no intention to misdirect anybody. He is ready to give divine transcendental knowledge. But if somebody is adamant like a child, not ready to give transcendental knowledge, then God wants us to learn the right lesson. Okay, you don't want that. Learn a bad lesson. Learn it the hard way, and then you come back to me. So it gives them the opportunity. So he gives them the independence to do whatever they want. And then the world suffers in different bodies, and then later on it comes back. So scribble. That's what a field body, what a field body do. He doesn't want to utilize the scribble, and he gives away the scribble to Krishna. He makes the scribble one with Krishna as well. Field body doesn't want any scribble at all. He just wants to do what Krishna wants him to do. Yes. Certainly possible. So the destiny, some people say everything is happening by destiny. That's not a correct understanding. Destiny means the facilities that are awarded to you. For example, you have taken a flight ticket. That means you are destined to fly, right? So you are going into the airport. After going into the airport, you can make a change in your plan and you can come out. You may see, oh, some MLA or MP is going. Maybe some danger may be there in this plane. So better you can come out. So somehow you are back into a plane. You are going to the plane, you are back in. Another half an hour is there. Even then you can decide. Maybe let me get out from the plane. Let me go back. Today I don't feel like going. Then you can still come back. But after one sits in the plane and one has ticket in hand, when the doors are closed and the plane flies, then you have not to come. It is something like jumping off the portico, you know. Once you jump up, then you cannot come back again. The same way once your plane goes up, the same way destiny also, for example, otherwise destiny, one is born in Islam. Does that mean they cannot do bhakti? Of course, the surroundings are such that they cannot do bhakti very easily. But they can go against the destiny by if they come in contact with the pure devotee. So, pure devotee can give transcendental knowledge wonderfully and he can attract the conscience. And the conscience is agreeing to follow by properly utilizing his favor, he can completely break through all his destiny. And it will become a pure
devotee. So there is some particular murderer or anybody is there and he is condemned to death by a judge. So only the king, he can have, the judge himself will not be able to change that particular thing, but the king can.
Krishna Alas is having a very beautiful example. He is saying, like in a court, somebody is given a death sentence and the person has to die. And who can change his destiny? The king can change his destiny. President or Prime Minister, he can make a change in that. As he must be knowing, sometimes in the jail, if a murderer is in the jail and he is writing letters to the immediate minister or somebody, if nothing is working out, then the prisoners are given the freedom to write a direct letter to the Prime Minister. Do you know that? They can write to banks like that. So they are putting a direct petition to Krishna. And so he can change the destiny, it's possible. Of course, destiny generally means the facilities and the surroundings that are awarded to a particular soul who is put in a particular situation. But then everyone has the free will to act in the way he wants. Like you are given a cup of lemon juice, you are given a cup of wine. So you have to choose what we want. And once we choose it and drink it, then we have to bear the consequences after that. We have the example of two birds sitting in a tree, isn't it? So you have to accept the desire and he will make the arrangement. Tadana buddhi yogam tam, yanamam upayantite. What is that? Tresham sapati yuktanam, dantam priti purvakam, tadana buddhi yogam tam, yanamam upayantite. He says, those who are constantly chanting my glory, my name, dantam priti purvakam, and they are worshipping me with love, for them what do I do? Dadana buddhi yogam tam. I have given the buddhi by which they can come to me. Even if they are illiterate, even if somebody is illiterate, he cannot read Bhagavad Gita, still the love was being seated in his heart, he given the knowledge how to go back to him. But this is promise. He promises. Your question now.
Okay, he can also go to the
deserving of God's sincerity in this life. One doesn't need any part. And for example, it is said in one hand that, Tesham tu antaranam pavam jananam punya karmanam tesham tu maham nirmukta tesham tu maham jadavrata. One who has completely put an end to all his sinful reactions or thoughts, only such a person can have jadavrata, a strong determination in the path of bhakti, it is said. But on the other hand, we see in the 18th chapter of Krishna said, Hare Raman Parityajya, Anekam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam, Sarva Papebhyo Bhakshayami. Here he says the contrary three things. He is saying, you come to me, you stand up to me, and you give up everything and you stand up to me, what shall I do? I will completely destroy, take away all your senses. So the question may come in a person's mind. If I am possessed with sense, then how can I surrender to him completely? Hare Raman Parityajya. Is it possible? Do you understand the contradiction? No, how can you understand it? So, it is explained by the author very beautifully. Just like if a mother tells a child, oh, your bath is cool, it's so nasty. So only wash yourself and don't come to me. Only then I will put a new dress and I will accept you. The mother says that. If a child is very adamant and very arrogant, then you will try to do it. Can he wash his tool himself, the small self? That's what he knows. He will have to put it all over his body. Isn't it? But if a child turns to the mother, raising both his hands and going, Amma, Amma, like he's saying, please, you help me, I don't know how to do that. And he's coming, crying to the mother, but completely surrendering. And the mother says, Aham Swam Sarva Papebhyo Bhakshayami. I will take away all the sins of your generation. So even if you have committed a lot of sins in the past, there is no problem. You can still show sincerity now and win the heart of Krishna. Amen.